Mitch Hedberg observed, "I find a duck's opinion of me is very much influenced by whether I have bread or not." Have you found that to be true? There was a time I was able to rescue a little clutch of baby ducklings and return them to her mother simply because the mama duck was standing on the street corner quacking at everybody that went past. Looked down in the drain, and there were the babies. We had to remove the grate and get them reunited again. So apparently, whenever a duck wants something from you, she can be quite communicative. Now, we always say, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, it's a... But I find this particular trait that being able to be very friendly when you need something, quite human. When we're out to a restaurant, a lot of times we'll have a very nice server. And I'll often say to the young lady, "You seem like such a nice young lady. Is that what you're really like, or is that just an act for us customers?" You always got to watch what's in your dessert after you say some things like that. But as people, we tend to change our personality when we need something, when we want something. We can be so sweet, so comely. Other times we can be quite surly and even at times ignorant. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the armor of God and how we do this thing that we're waiting for a fight, but we don't fight like the world fights. In fact, we fight quite unduck-like. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So God, here we are. The most veteran among us often feels like we're just getting started. We're just learning. We're just beginning to serve as we should. Teach us, Lord God, how to pray. Teach us, Lord God, how to live. Teach us to stop being all about ourselves, what I want and who I want to influence. And teach us, God, how to be about the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This section of scripture begins back in verse 10 where Paul wrote, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Following that are a group of verses that equip us for doing this. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, gospel shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Last week, we said that verse 18 is like God telling us, okay, now you're equipped, forward march. Go out there and get her done in the name of the Lord. This is my Father's world. Swing that mighty sword of the Spirit to the destroying of the enemy's strongholds by praying all kinds of prayers. Defend yourself from the attacks of the enemy. How many know the enemy's trying to get you? He's been trying to get you all week. That car going so slow in front of you when you're trying to get to work, I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't see a little pair of horns behind the wheel there. That person is so irritating. That bad news that came over the phone, the enemy is just trying to poke, 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 poke until he can get at you and tear you down and cause you to want to eat worms and just die. Defend yourself, my friend. Put up the shield of faith. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. But the voice of truth says, do not be afraid. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Take that sword and begin to use it. A sword is made to enlarge our territory, destroy our enemies, clear away obstacles and release the captive. You have power. We're not to roll over and moan. We're to get up and fight. We're to take that sword of the Spirit and we're to take it to the enemy. Watch out, world, here I come. Watch out, devil, you picked on the wrong guy. Because I know how to pray in the Spirit. I know how to pray in faith. I know what the Word of God says and I know what His promises are. Praying in the Spirit is to pray Spirit-inspired prayers. Now, I mentioned last week that sword fighters rarely fought alone. They band together. They formed formations. And as they linked their shields together, it would protect them from the enemy's blows. As they moved forward together with their swords, they would cut through the enemy and they would make progress. We are not meant to fight alone. The devil's greatest tactic is to get you out of church. It's to single you out. It's to get you mad at the rest of us. It's to get you discouraged or hurt in some way so that you no longer want to gather together as the people of God. He knows that if he can cut us out of the herd, then we become weak, we become vulnerable, and we got our little safety pin out there, ping, 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 ping. And we're not going to do the enemy any damage at all. There's a whole church world out there that isn't going to church these days. If you talk to them, they have faith in Christ. They may even pray every day, read their Bible, but they've had it with the rest of us. Huh. Well, let me tell you, so have I. I've had it with me. I couldn't be more disgusted with me at times, but I keep living with me. Every morning, there I am. And the same is true of our body. There are times this body will bless the socks off of you. Talking about Rick Quinn, I guess Sam showed up the other day and did the gardening for him. Pulling. When you pull weeds for somebody, that is the greatest act of love. Right under laying your life down for your friend, there's pulling weeds. That's really awesome. I guess Linda stopped by and bought groceries for him last Sunday to make sure that they had some food on the shelf. And just a neighbor came over to mow the grass for them. And the love of Christ was evident as it was going forth there. And it just really good stuff. Because we're part of a body, because we're linked together, because we love one another. And when I'm weak, you're strong. And I can be there for you in times of need. But if we allow the enemy to get in there and divide our shields, divide us as people, then we become so much more vulnerable. So please, I understand how hurt a person can get in church. I understand how ignorant fellow Christians can get at times. But it's all right because it's not them. We're not battling against flesh and blood. It's our enemy getting in there. And he's trying to inspire bitterness and hatred and discord and all those kinds. Don't listen to it. Overcome that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray great prayers, Spirit-inspired prayers that are quotes from Scripture, that are reminders of God's promises. What he's done for others, he'll do for us. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. So if he did it for Gideon, he's going to do it for us. If he did it for Moses, he's going to do it for us. If he did it for Joshua, he's going to do it for us. So read the word, be inspired by it, and be encouraged that as he was with Moses, so he will be with you. He's going to show, he's a great showing up God. He shows up every time. He's an ever-present help in the time of need. And this is how we become strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the equipment. Go fight the fight. Hold up your shield. Don't believe those lies that are coming. And start licking the enemy with that sword, which is the truth of the Word of God. Yet there's a part of this verse that we left hanging last week. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, does that read, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for your every need, desire, and want? No. How about defend yourself with your prayers, attack every enemy that attacks you? Be concerned about everything that concerns you. No, it says, keep on praying for all the Lord's people. God's been doing some renovations in me, and that's not surprising because, first of all, I guess it was about a year ago I started saying, I want to be a better pastor. It became a heart's desire of mine. I want to be a better pastor. And so God started messing with me, and that's nothing new because he's been messing with me ever since I've known him. How about you? He never seems to be satisfied where we're at. He's going to take us to the next level all the time. And years ago, he had spoken to me that he was going to build a team here at New Life Assembly of God. And at the time, I thought, good, we could use some help. But in more recent times, I can see that he didn't mean that he was just going to send some folk to help with administrative duties and some maintenance people to help take care of all those things. That he has done. But what he really meant was he wants us to be that team. Every member of the congregation, every person in the body being a functioning member of the house of God, of the body of Christ. Nobody left behind, nobody left out. Every gift being used, finding a place of service, finding a place fitting within the body of Christ. Would you agree with me that the world has not seen a church that's really a church just yet? I mean, there are some great churches that do wonderful things and parts of them are functioning very well. But a truly unified body of Christ where everybody knows their part, their ministry, their anointing under God, and does it with all of their heart and all of their soul. You see, old church used to hire clergy to do spiritual stuff on behalf of the members. Well, we hire a pastor to do that. The staff takes care of those things. Biblical church uses clergy to train everyone in the work of the ministry. Pastors teach biblical principles that we apply to our area. You have a ministry. You are a minister. And God has gifted you in certain ways. And so when we come together and we hear the word, it applies to you. You take these principles and you apply them to your own ministry. And it strengthens you and you learn and you grow. And it's helpful, hopefully, to you in your life and in your ministry. Often in our prayer group, I enjoy Stan as he prays. A couple weeks ago, he called out, by God, let's get something done and not just talk about it. He was praying when he was saying that, you know. So tired of just coming and talking and planning and charting. Let's get something done. And then I think it was last week or the week before, he said, oh, Lord, another week has gone by. What have we done for you? I thought, wow, that's good preaching. That's convicting. Yeah, he's right. Another week has gone by. Did we do anything that affected the kingdom of God or affected this world for the kingdom of God? Great questions. So each of us has some pretty big shoes to fill. Your ministry is different than mine. Your calling is different than mine. Your gifts and all of that is unique. And I can't do my job without the Spirit's help. How about you? I say this a lot, I guess. I'm sorry if I repeat too much, but I'm getting to that age now, you know. But without him, I got nothing. Joel Everhart doesn't even know how to preach. I am totally dependent on God meeting me here in this pulpit for anything good to be communicated. It's not like I could, well, okay, if I get tired of pastoring, I could, you know, be a spokesperson for somebody. I got nothing except Jesus. And you have particular gifts that are only able to function as you are yielded to the Holy Spirit and to God. How many of you have been called into a ministry when you were first called, you said, I can't do that. That's not me. I don't do that stuff. I could never get up in front of anybody. I could never walk up to a stranger and just start talking. I hated kids. Not me, but I'm just. Then you end up being a kids' church person, loving every minute of it. See, it's energized, it's empowered by the whole. We've got big shoes that we cannot fill on our own. And we need Jesus. And anything good that comes out of it all, it's going to be God that receives the glory. So it's only natural that we pray for ourselves a bit. God, help me to preach. Lord, help me to sing. God, help me to find favor with the people I need to talk to today. I was praying kind of that way one Sunday morning as I was walking the dog. Lord, please help me to preach this morning. And the Lord stopped me. And he said, stop praying for me and start praying for us. Stop praying that I'll play my role well, that I'll do my job good. And start praying that we will be the church this morning, that everybody will be anointed and blessed, and that if God so chooses, he can pick somebody that's not on the agenda to bring something awesome into the mix so that we can be the church. Don't you agree it's time to stop letting the preacher be the church? We are called to be the church of Jesus Christ, the embodiment of the Lord, the ministers of God. Pray that there be no division in us, that no scheme of the enemy would prevail. You see, individual successes without corporate accomplishment is useless. So what if somebody shines bright today? So what if we go home and we think so-and-so is a fine citizen? What does that do? So what if I preached well? Or Mel sang great? Or Pastor Leroy had a wonderful prayer? If we're not drawn closer to God, if we haven't heard from the Holy Spirit, if we haven't been touched by his power and his grace, what does it mean? If we don't get there together, we haven't gotten anywhere. What impact has our church had on East Berlin, Pennsylvania? How often have you talked to somebody in town and they said, well, where's that church located? I don't know, I go up 194 all the time and I don't even remember seeing it. How big of an impact have we had? Because this isn't the measure of who we are. Where God has planted us, the fruit that we bear, that will be the measure of our church. What if we adopted this thought? No man, woman, or child left behind. Every single one born again, filled with the Spirit of God, discipled in the Word of God, able to do the work of the ministry. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, to stop thinking, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. But, oh God, every single one that you have placed within our care. Didn't Jesus say, I didn't lose any of the ones you gave me, except the one that was destined for perdition? He kept them all safe. He kept them all in God. No job left undone. I sure don't want to hear when I get to the other side, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but boy, what could have happened? You know, what could have been done? Oh, you maintained a fine church. Looked very nice. People were quite comfortable. But oh, what could have been done? The families that could have been rescued and saved. Each and every one of us, moving together, can take territory for Jesus. I mentioned last Sunday, August the 20th, Saturday, 6 o'clock in the evening, walk your school's campus and pray. 6:30, get to the flagpole and pray. See if there's any other Christians there that have been walking the grounds. Let's pray. It's time for Christians to stop sitting around complaining about the conditions. And it's time for Christians to start praying powerful prayers. We have the authority in Jesus Christ to take territory back from the enemy. And if we will begin to pray, if we will use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we will pray in Jesus' name, we will see the tide turn. I don't know that it's ever been darker in America. I don't know that it's ever been more ugly in America. Have you seen who's running for president? Both sides of the aisle. We need God. And it's time for Christians to stop putting their faith in men and women and laws and decrees and whatever else. And it's time for the church to draw the sword of the Spirit and begin to pray great prayers. Nothing will happen without great prayer. We have to do more than pray, but we ought not do anything until we have prayed. And even if we've prayed, oh God, use me, that's a nice prayer. But the text this morning is asking us to go beyond that and begin to pray for our brothers and our sisters in Christ, to pray for the church, to pray for believers everywhere. Paul said, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, the sermon title this morning was, praying for others is powerful prayer. We need to vote people into office. We have board members. We have coordinators. We have people doing various jobs in the church. We voted for them. When was the last time we prayed for them? That's a little convicting, isn't it? We asked them to do a job. When was the last time we prayed for them? We entrust our kids to them. When was the last time we anointed them with prayer and we became part of their ministry through our prayer lives? And always keep on praying for all the saints. There's room in there to pray for ourselves, but there's something special about praying for somebody else. What percentage of praying do you think that God hears is about the person themselves who is praying? How much of the prayer that's going up do you think is about the individual who's doing the praying? God, I need this. God, I need that. God, help me with this. God, help me over there. God, I. I think it's probably like music to God's ears when he hears us praying for somebody else. I think it takes on special significance when we've used our prayer time to anoint and bless somebody else in their ministry and in their life. The sermon title today is Who are we fighting for? And of course, the obvious answer is, well, of course, we're fighting for the kingdom of God. But the not so obvious response is we're fighting for one another. We're in this together. When somebody falls out of the fellowship, what was our part in that? Oh, not that we took their parking place or anything like that, but did we care that we were praying for them? And when they stopped showing up, we missed that they were here. And we prayed for them all the more. To a large degree, I'll only be as effective as the prayers of others carry me. To a large degree, I'll only be as effective as the prayers of others carry me. You got a poor preacher? Pray for him. Is there a ministry in the church that has been weakened? Pray for them, the people who are on the front lines. Let's not tear one another apart. Let's carry them with our prayers. You know, and as I studied all this, I had to confront myself with the truth. I've been a selfish prayer. I want to be anointed. I want to do well. I want this and I want that. But I believe God is challenging you and I together this morning to always pray for all of the saints. You're hurting? So are others. Pray for them in their need and see what God won't do for you in yours. I've been a selfish prayer. I've got a lot on my plate. Well, so does everybody else I know. Perhaps nobody had more on their plate than the Apostle Paul himself. He pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. But Paul practiced what he preached. How often in the epistles we read, I pray for you all the time. I'm always rejoicing for you, whether it was of an individual or it was a whole church. I remember you often in my prayers. He was one that sowed the seed of prayer for everybody knew. Throughout the day, he would pray for the people that he loved, the people who are in Christ. He often says, I pray for you all the time. So now he's asking for a little bit of payback. And would you put me on your prayer list? Please pray that I'll be given the right words to preach and that I'll be able to proclaim them fearlessly as I should. You remember the Apostle Paul when you pray, won't you please? He wasn't asking that the conditions in the prison where he was being held would get better. No, he prayed about the ministry that he was given. Help me to be effective while I'm here. I'm an ambassador in chains. In other words, I was sent to this prison by the Lord because there's some knuckleheads in this place. They need Jesus. There's a lot of things you can't do, a lot of meetings you'll never be able to attend. But you can pray. There are a lot of churches headed in the wrong direction. They wouldn't invite us in to give them some advice or to preach in their pulpit, but we can pray for them. The President of the United States, he doesn't take my phone calls. But I can pray for him. I can get discouraged by what I see happening, or I can get on my knees and I can cry out to God. I could change my requests from, oh Lord, I'd like a nicer this or that, to something like Paul used to pray for. Give me good words. and give me the courage to speak them. Not just in church, but especially when I'm not in church. Because this world, it sure needs Jesus. This is how we link our shields. This is how we level our swords. We pray for one another. I can see the church in Ephesus adding Paul to their prayer. They never thought to pray for Paul because Paul's great. Paul's powerful. Paul's an apostle. Paul's filled with the Spirit. Paul writes Scripture. You don't have to pray for Paul. He's Paul. And Paul says, no, you need to pray for Paul. You need to pray for Paul because he's none of that without good prayer support and covering. Sometimes we only think to pray for the weak ones among us. Amen? Amen. We need to pray for the strong ones or the perceived strong ones, that they stay strong in Christ. Can you see how that concept would revolutionize the church in Corinth who had all their favorites? I'm with Apollos. I'm with Paul. I'm with Cephas. Praying for your favorite divides us. Praying for all brings unity. We are the body of Christ. These are our ministries. This isn't my ministry. This is our ministry together. And all of these ministries belong to us and we belong to them. And we need to pray. Pray for God's favor over the other areas of the church. Those you have influence over and those you have nothing to do with. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as you pray for this church and for the things that go on. Then you'll see their ministry and importance as God sees it. Not just your own little view, but everybody else's as well. Then, when they succeed, you'll rejoice. You'll be able to say, I was praying for that. I was praying for them. I was asking God for that to happen. And look what the Lord has done. So friend, are you ready to join the team this morning? Not just get all armored up, but ready to link our shields. We're so independent-minded in the United States of America. We want to take care of ourselves. We don't want to get too close to anybody because then you can get hurt. But what if we lost that? What if we owned this? Said, God, I'm ready now to drop my guard, to become part of this family, this body. Jesus, use me. Show me where I link together with others in this place, where my gifts can work with their gifts. And we can get this thing done so that we're more than just a bunch of Christians that meet on a Sunday morning and we're encouraged. Wouldn't it be sweet if we were a battalion and we took this area for Jesus Christ? Would you stand with me this morning? Father, the best among us has sometimes felt all alone in our ministry. But that's not the truth. The best among us sometimes has felt like Elijah who said, I'm the last guy left. And that's not true. We're not the only church in America. We're not the only Christian who's staying faithful. And we're not going to get the job done if we think we are. We have got to learn how to do church in concert with one another. With those people we really love and with those people who irritate us a little bit, we've got to learn to do this not for us, but for you. Help us to get over ourselves. Help us to look beyond our own ministry, our own part, and bless somebody else. Encourage them. Pray for them. Lord, maybe we have no babies in the nursery, kids or grandkids. It's still our nursery, and it needs your touch. Maybe we have no teenagers in the youth group. They're still our teenagers. It's still our youth group. Maybe we'll never go to a men's breakfast. They're still our men. Maybe I'll never go to a gathering with the ladies. They're our ladies. And we pray this morning in Jesus' name that you will bless these sweet people who have taken the burden on to organize, to cook, to work, to call, to labor, to run after, to be sure that everything is taken care of. I don't even know how to turn this system on, Lord, but it's our booth. There are guys and gals that run the system, our worship team. Lord, I've preached this morning, but I'm going to ask in my prayer here that you will do things that make us a team more than we've ever been before in this church. If I have walls up because I've been hurt before, if I hold some at arm's length, if I've got an attitude of some kind that just does not belong, I'm asking for you to take your scrub brush and work in me. I'm asking you, God, to work in us, that you will sand off the rough edges and you will fit us into places we should be. And you will bring us information that we were never privy to before. We didn't know that was a need. We didn't know that was a problem. So that we can pray, so that we can encourage those who are in that ministry, so that we can love on them. And God, may we not shrink back from, you know, the ones that look strong among us. May we not forget them, but encourage them too. From the least to the greatest. Don't forget the people in the shadows that work so hard and maybe never get a word of encouragement. We need those for sure. But don't forget the people who serve week in and week out either. May we love on each other and encourage one another, strengthening this body. And please, God, we hope we fill every seat in the place. We hope that we do lots of good stuff here. But what we hope most of all is that this church will take this territory for Jesus Christ, that souls will be saved, that families will be rescued, families that are right now on the brink, that we'll be able to touch, we'll be able to help, we'll be able to minister to, together. Together, Lord. And we'll thank you for your help in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Let's sing a chorus together.